Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday. This is in many ways the end and culmination of the big events that we've celebrated throughout the church year. We started with creation, and we're reminded of that today in our first reading. And we go through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then the ascension of Jesus and the sending of the Holy Spirit by the Father and Son at Pentecost. And now we take a step back from all these incredible events, and we reflect on the fact that God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what I want to do today is simply attempt to help us answer this question. Why has God revealed himself as Trinity, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Let me suggest to you three things in which this helps us to understand why God has done this. The first is this. In revealing himself as Trinity, God is simply revealing more of who he is. This is the thing that we have to remember whenever we talk about things like the doctrine of the Trinity, that ultimately God is simply revealing a part of who he is. And in this way, he wants us to know more about himself. In this, the same for us, whenever we enter into relationships, right? There are things that we reveal to people because we want them to know us better. So when Alice and I started dating, you know, I had a list of movies that she had to see in order to get my sense of humor. You know, there are different books and novels that I felt like these things reflect my personality in some ways. So I revealed to him, I shared with her these things because in this way, I was revealing more of who I am. In a similar way, God wants us to know him intimately and personally. And so he reveals this incredible thing about himself. That he is one in three. That in his very essence and existence, there is a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That within God's very oneness, there's a kind of dynamic, eternal, relational, active love. The word they use in Greek is called perichoresis. It means kind of mutual indwelling. Augustine would say something similar. He'd say, the Father loves the Son and is in the Son. The Son loves the Father and is in the Son. And the Holy Spirit is that kind of bond between the Father and Son. One of the other images they use for it is they talk about it as a divine dance. It's an incredible thing. You can see two couples kind of on the dance floor who really know what they're doing, and you can tell they are one couple, and you can see them. But if you look closely, you can see both the two persons and this kind of motion happening all at once. And so Augustine would say, you know, this is the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is that activity, that love between them. So it's a kind of divine dance. And the idea is that God reveals himself to us in this way because he actually wants us to enter into this divine dance. He wants us to experience this kind of active, eternal love that the Father has for the Son, that the Son has for the Father. Years ago, we had a foster daughter, Marissa, and she loved to dance. And so often we put on music, Allie and I, and you know, we'd always, there's this one song, Everyone by Van Morrison, loved it. And Alice and I would start dancing, right? And of course, Marissa would get really, really excited. And so she would just run up and she'd have to join in. So we'd open up the dance floor and we'd all kind of hold hands and swing around. That's an image, a metaphor for this divine dance. That God in that infinite love is going around and around and he invites us to join in. So that's the first thing. The second thing, though, the Trinity reveals that God wants to rescue us. You see, God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the context of a great rescue mission. You know, some of the best movies out there, right, are ones that involve some sort of rescue mission, right? The hero goes into enemy territory and they find the people captive and they bring them home. The Bible is a kind of divine and cosmic rescue mission. It's the story about how the God of the universe descends down to us so that we can ascend up to him. And so God reveals himself as Trinity in the context of this rescue mission. We see this in our lesson from Genesis today. Even at the beginning, you get glimpses of the Trinity in a kind of opaque way. In the beginning, the wind is hovering over the waters. Well, the wind is the Holy Spirit. And the Father says these words. Well, the Word is the Logos, Jesus. And so you see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit actively present at the beginning of creation because they exist before creation and before time. And later on in the Bible, the Son appears to Daniel and Isaiah in visions, but finally, the Son, the Word, is made flesh in Jesus. And Jesus comes into that enemy territory in a world full of sin in order to lay down his life for us. And then the Father and Son send the Holy Spirit, God's presence, working in us to bring us back up to the Father. God descends so that we might ascend. Irenaeus, he has this image of the Trinity as the Father, and then the arms of the Father are the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the idea is that God kind of reveals himself by opening himself up in this way. But he does that so he can reach up and grab us and pull us to himself. God reveals himself as Trinity in order to rescue us. But lastly, the Trinity reveals something incredible. It reveals that we worship a powerful and personal God. Think of this. Think about what you long for in close relationships. What are the kind of essential things that make a best friend, that make a spouse, that make somebody who you love? I think what it comes down to often are these two things. I think we long for constancy and we long for intimacy. By constancy, we mean we want somebody who's not going to leave us. You know, there's that nervousness when you first meet somebody, you're wondering, am I going to say something wrong? Is I'm going to say something that they're going to turn away from me? Or maybe you worry that they're going to meet somebody else that they like more and move on. We long for a kind of loyalty and constancy. For somebody that we know we can be ourselves around and know that they're not going to depart. But also, we want intimacy. Close friends are not, you know, the people that you have a beer with and watch the game. Right? It's much more than that. We want a kind of person who we can open up to completely and know that we are gonna be heard. We want somebody who we can share our deepest, darkest fears, whom we can cry in front of. We long for this kind of intimacy in relationships. And you see, when God reveals himself as Trinity, he reveals himself to be both fully constant and fully intimate. You see, on the one hand, we worship one God. Meaning this idea, we worship an all-powerful God who is utterly transcendent, who has existed before the beginning of time, before the existence of matter, before a concept of beginning. God is. This God is all-powerful and all-holy and all-righteous and all-loving. And so that oneness means that God is constant. God isn't going to go anywhere and walk out on us. And this is important. You know, you read other stories about gods, you read like Greek mythology, and the gods are always fickle, right? They're not all powerful, and so you never know what they're going to do. We know that God is constant. He's unchanging. And so he will be there for us. But sometimes we can think of God this way, and we think then of an utterly impersonal God, a God that's too far away. But we worship a God that, because he is so transcendent, because he is so other, he is actually able to enter into his creation in a way that doesn't displace us. He can work with us without shoving us aside. This means that we worship a God that can be utterly intimate to us. And so we worship God the Father, but also God the Son. Jesus became one of us. And so we have a God who relates to us, who has shed the same tears that we've shed. And we have God in the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God working in our hearts. And so this means that we worship a God as well whom we can be close with, who we can be honest with. And I want to leave you with this today on Trinity Sunday. God is constant and God is close. And he invites us to that constancy and that intimacy. So I want to leave you with a couple of these questions to reflect on this great gift of the Trinity. The first is this, maybe. Are you inconsistent in your faith? You know, I think for some of us, we only turn to God during the real extreme moments in our life, right? If God is constant, oftentimes we are not constant, right? So we're interested in God, and then a day or two later, we get distracted by something else. I want to challenge you today as you reflect on the very oneness and constancy of God. I want to challenge you. What does it look like to have constancy as you reflect the image of God? What does it mean for you in response to be constant? Maybe that means making some changes in your life, and there are plenty of things to practice, reading scripture, going to church. There are many, many ways to build up those habits. But I want to encourage you with it too, because sometimes we can get really down because of our inconsistencies. I want to encourage you in this way, is that God is constant. Even when we're inconsistent, he is consistent. He is there for you. No matter how many times you've turned away from him, no matter how many times you've neglected him, he stands waiting for you. And he's waiting to pour out his love constantly for you. And the second thing I want to ask is this. Is your faith intimate? You know, some of us, we suffer from the opposite thing. You know, we've got our ducks in a row, right? We go to church every Sunday, we've got our Bible readings, and I've got the schedule, and I have my prayer, and doing all these things. But sometimes some of us suffer from the fact that these things just become routines for us. That we never have those moments in which we're simply pouring out our heart to God. I want to challenge you with this today. Christianity is not stoicism. It affords this opportunity for us to be completely open to God. I want to challenge you all this week to pour over whatever burdening you this week. I think it's easy to feel knotted up, particularly at this time, with all the immense issues in the world. And we carry the weight on our shoulders. Pour out your heart to God. And know that this is the very God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit will be working in you to pull you up, to reveal Jesus to you, who can come alongside of you, comfort you, cry with you, and lift you as well into the arms of the Father. Will you partake in the eternal divine dance? Thanks be to God. Amen.